So first, I have to warn you, last week I had the opportunity to preach at Cross, and they wanted me to preach for 30 minutes. I had a hard time cutting it back this week for you, giving you a warning. I want to take a moment to brag first a little bit this morning. My family lives in a lovely house. It's big, it's well built. It has a roof that isn't leaking yet. It has a beautiful kitchen, 3 bathrooms, bedrooms for each one of us, a basement that we barely use except when we banish our children to it. And we have a yard that, quite frankly, is more than we really want to take care of, but it gives us plenty of space. And last year, we had our perfectly good aluminum siding painted because it was yellow. We didn't like yellow. And our project this year is to redo our wood floors simply because they're beginning to show their wear. But every time we begin thinking about another project to improve our house, I struggle with a feeling of guilt. About 6 years ago, we were in El Paso, Texas. Matt was doing some training before his deployment, and so the boys and I went down to visit. El Paso is right on the border between U.S. and Mexico. And as I looked across that border, along the hillside, all I could see were these dots of run-down shacks and huts. Hundreds of thousands of people living in less than even remotely acceptable housing. I couldn't see for sure, but I would guess that there was very little running water. And I know that there was some electricity, because at night there were a few dots of light that would speckle the hillside. But it was nothing compared to looking over Texas, the Texas side, which wasn't really all that high class either. Every time we begin thinking about doing another project to improve our home, I feel a little bit of guilt, because what we live in would probably be able to provide water and electricity for a large amount of the people living on that hillside. We certainly did not need to spend the money to have our house repainted. The siding was fine. It did its job. It wasn't necessary. Painting for us served no other purpose than our personal preference as to what our house looks like. And our floors, right? They serve their purpose. We can walk on them without tripping. They aren't breaking or sagging or causing any problems. And those floors will probably serve their purpose for at least another 50 years. But I think my guilt comes from overhaving, right? There are plenty of people who could be fed or housed or helped out with the money that we are simply using to improve our house. So where do we find that balance between using for ourselves and using for others? Our reading from 1 John today, verse 17, reads, "How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help?" Some days when I read through our church bulletin, I think, good grief. There is no end, right? Not only is there a countless constant need for things, for time, for people, but there's an endless list of things that if I wanted to, I would be able to assist with. Sometimes looking at the bulletin can be a daunting task because I have to intentionally decide what, if any, extra items am I going to pick up this week? What days or evenings am I willing to share? How much money and to what cause am I going to contribute to? Everywhere we look around us, there are ways in which we can serve. There are hungry people all over the world, people in need. But does God really want us to give up everything for others? To put aside all of our wants and wishes to serve another? To sacrifice our joys that we've worked hard for someone else's needs? How do we decide what to keep for ourselves and what to give away? How much does God really expect us to do? to give back? Well, the answer is everything, right? God calls us to love our neighbor as ourselves. But wait now, that's not really possible, is it? We can't possibly give 100% of our income or our living expenses to serve others. We'd end up being on the receiving end of where that money ends up going. And we can't possibly give 100% of our time in serving others, because there are personal things that we need to do for ourselves as well. We've been talking the last few weeks now about doing something. Some of you have shared things that you are already doing. Some of you have asked, what is it that I can do? Some of you are pondering how much of what you have are you able to do and give. And honestly, some of you might be sick of hearing about it. And that's okay too. The reality is that we can't do it all, right? We can't feed all of the hungry people in the world. Even if we pooled all of our resources together, we can't fix the needs of every problem in this world around us. But we have to remember that that's not what God calls us to do. God doesn't love us so that we can fix the world. God loves us so that we can witness to the world, so that we can show God's love to those that are in need, and so that they can come to know God. God doesn't really want 100% of our stuff, but God does want 100% of our hearts. Each week in confirmation, at the end of class, the students are invited to write questions to stump the presenter. Every once in a while, we'll get the question of, what does Titus chapter 3, verse 6 say? Which really just isn't fair. But last week, one of the confirmation kids asked, why should they believe in God? They might have think they stumped me, because my answer to them was, I can't answer that question for you. Each one of us has to find God in our lives, right? Each one of us has to come to God for ourselves. Each one of us has to figure out how God is at play in our lives. And I also added for them that God doesn't demand us to believe in God. God doesn't force us to follow. It's a choice. And explain that again, that that's what confirmation is really all about. It's the opportunity for a young adult to discern and speak for themselves what it is they believe. But there is a catch. The catch is that if we say we believe in God, if we decide to follow Jesus and be a child of God, then we can't just do it sometimes. We can't just do it when it's convenient or when it's easy. We can't love one neighbor and not another. We can't serve one stranger and leave the other one standing on the street. This is a call that is a lifetime call. It's a journey that transforms us from being children of God to servants of God, disciples of God. This whole do something thing is not just about doing something that makes us feel better, or just for the sake of the church getting off our back, or even to fix the world. Doing something is about seeing the needs around us and acknowledging the gifts that God has given to us to share. And then behaving, being, living that Christian faith. Living in a way that shows another who God is and what God can do. Showing another how great God is. Fixing problems doesn't actually change the world. As we love our neighbors, as we witness to God in our lives, as we shine God's light into the lives of others and show others who God is, then they become empowered in the same way that we are. So my challenge for you is this. If you feel that you are at peace with what you are giving back to God, how you are using God's gifts, then you need to reevaluate God at work in your life. If you don't feel the struggle of whether or not you are doing enough to show God's love, have a talk with God. Let God enlighten you a bit more about the needs of this world and the gifts that God has given to you. And for those of you who do struggle, who are struggling with whether or not you are doing enough, giving enough, sharing God's love enough, good. If you find trying to balance between saving for yourself and giving away a struggle, that's great. Because it means that your whole heart is on this journey. It means that you are aware of the ways that the Spirit is tugging at you to witness to God. It's not an easy answer. It's not always convenient or easy to act. But keep praying about it. Keep struggling with it. Don't settle. Don't try to find peace. Keep that conversation with God going. That sense of guilt that we feel when we do something for ourselves, guilt means that we are acknowledging that there is more that we can do. The guilt stretches us to give more of ourselves. It doesn't mean that we have to keep score, track one for me and one for them. It doesn't mean we always need to deny ourselves and not repaint our house or buy the new pair of shoes or the fishing pole. But it does keep our whole hearts open to following God's call for us. It keeps us actively engaged in finding and using the gifts that God blesses us with and allows us to continue witnessing to God's amazing work in this world. Do something.